So our first reading is from 1 Samuel 1, verses 9 to 18. One day, after they had finished their meal in the house of the Lord at Shiloh, Hannah got up. She was deeply distressed, and she cried bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. Meanwhile, Eli, the priest, was sitting in his place by the door. Hannah made a solemn promise. Almighty Lord, look at me, your servant. See my trouble and remember me. Don't forget me. If you give me a son, I promise that I will dedicate him to you for his whole life and that he will never have his hair cut. Hannah continued to pray to the Lord for a long time, and Eli watched her lips. She was praying silently. Her lips were moving, but she made no sound. So Eli thought that she was drunk and said to her, "Stop making a drunken show of yourself. Stop your drinking and sober up." "No, I'm not drunk, sir," she answered. "I haven't been drinking. I am desperate, and I have been praying, pouring out my troubles to the Lord. Don't think I am a worthless woman. I have been praying like this because I'm so miserable." "Go in peace," Eli said, "and may the God of Israel give you what you have asked him for." "May you always think kindly of me," she replied. Then she went away, ate some food, and was no longer sad.
Right, the second reading is 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 to 11. Hannah's prayer. Hannah prayed, "The Lord has filled my heart with joy. How happy I am because of what he has done. I laugh at my enemies. How joyful I am because God has helped me. No one is holy like the Lord. There is none like him. No protector like our God. Stop your loud boasting. Silence your proud words. The Lord is a God who knows, and he judges all that people do. The bows of strong soldiers are broken, but the weak grow strong. The people who once were well fed now hire themselves out to get more food, but the hungry are hungry no more. The childless wife has borne seven children, but the mother of many is left with none. The Lord kills and restores to life. He sends people to the world of the dead and brings them back again. He makes some men poor and others rich. He humbles some and makes others great. He lifts the poor from the dust and raises the needy from their misery. He makes them companions of princes and puts them in places of honour. The foundations of the earth belong to the Lord. On them he has built the world. He protects the lives of his faithful people, but the wicked disappear in darkness. A man does not triumph by his own strength. The Lord's enemies will be destroyed. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the whole world. He will give power to his king. He will make his chosen king victorious. Then Elkanah went back home to Ramah, but the boy Samuel stayed in Shiloh and served the Lord under the priest Eli. And the final reading is Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand up and pray in the houses of worship and on the street corners so that everyone will see them. I assure you, they have already been paid in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what you do in private will reward you. When you pray, do not use a lot of meaningless words, as the pagans do, who think that their gods will hear them because their prayers are long. Do not be like them. Your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. This is the word of the Lord.
Turn the lectern up, Paul, for now.
How's
that? Can you hear me now? Still not? There you go. That'll be working then. Possibly. Can you hear me now? Good. I won't have to shout. Excellent. Can anyone spot the theme running through today, other than dodgy microphones? Prayer. Yeah, good. It was pretty obvious, I hope. Today has been a day of prayer for the church, and it's the start of a week of prayer for the church, and hopefully in your home groups this week, you're going to be spending some time praying. But tonight is also about starting a new series, and we want to look at some characters from the Old Testament and see what they have to say to us about setting the right example, about how we should be living our lives. And I really wanted to talk about Hannah this evening. So I was very glad when this sermon series was arranged and it worked out that it fitted with the day of prayer, and I said, I'm going to talk about Hannah tonight. And so here we go. I am talking about Hannah. I've been fascinated with this story about Hannah that appears just in these two chapters of the first book of Samuel. It's the only time you hear of her, just these two chapters. And I think she does so much in such a short space of time. And we're going to unpack a little bit of that, about the way that she prays a little later on. But first of all, I want to start with a story. A very dignified pastor, unlike me, was visiting a lady in a nursing home who was confined to a wheelchair. As he stood to leave, the lady asked him to have a word of prayer. He gently took her hand and prayed that God would be with her to bring her comfort, strength, and healing. When he finished praying, her face began to glow. She said softly, "Pastor, would you help me to my feet?" Not knowing what else to do, he helped her up. At first, she took a few uncertain steps. Then she began to jump up and down. Then to dance and shout and cry with happiness until the whole nursing home was aroused. After she was quieted, the solemn pastor hurried out to his car, closed the door, grabbed hold of the steering wheel with both hands and prayed this little prayer. "Lord, don't you ever do that to me again." Praying to God can bring about surprises. Praying to God can be life-changing. And that's certainly the case for Hannah as we explore her story this evening. As I've already said, the first two chapters of 1 Samuel are all about Hannah. It's a story of love, of ignorance, of bullying, of torment, despair, misunderstanding, of faith, and most of all, it's a story of prayer. In terms of love, Hannah is one of the two wives of Elkanah from the tribe of Ephraim, which is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it would appear that she was a favoured wife. Certainly, it would appear that Elkanah loves her. So it's a love story. It's a story of ignorance. If you read the first part of the story, you see that Elkanah didn't get why Hannah was so upset. She was so upset because she had no children. And what does he say to her? "Don't I mean more to you than 10 children?" Well, actually, Elkanah, no. Because children are important in this society. It's also a story of bullying. Because she was childless and therefore didn't have a great value in her society, Peninnah, the second wife, knew it. And as she had plenty of children, she took great delight in making Hannah's life a misery and putting her down. The story is about torment. Peninnah would humiliate Hannah at every opportunity. Can you imagine it all sitting around for a family meal And there's Peninnah and her children and Elkanah sitting there. And poor old Hannah, or not so old, but sitting the other side of the table looking at all these stuff that's going on around and the family and realising that she's on the outside of that. No matter how much Elkanah loves her, because she hasn't got any kids of her own, she's on the edge. And that drives her to the very depths of despair. And it's at that point that Hannah goes to the temple at Shiloh to pray to her God. But even there, in the temple, in the house of God, deep in prayer, what does she encounter? Misunderstanding. Misunderstanding from Eli, the priest himself. What does he assume? That she's drunk. Now that's not apparently uncommon, because it would have been likely that Hannah and the family were there at a special time for a festival maybe. And quite a lot of people got drunk at these festivals, apparently. And so it could just be that he was just assuming that here she was, a drunk woman coming into the temple making a nuisance of herself. He was assuming, and he misunderstood what was going on for Hannah. But despite all of that, God hears Hannah's prayer. And he takes her prayers seriously. And he answers her prayer by giving her what she wants. And she, to her credit, lives up to the prayer that she makes. And she makes good her promise to God. Hannah shows great faith in her prayer and in her actions. And God blesses her. But what can we learn about prayer from Hannah? I want to suggest a couple of things. Hannah's first prayer, to me, if you've got your Bibles open, worth having a little look-see at it. Hannah's first prayer, to me, seems to be about making a plea bargain with God. In her desperation, she cries out to God for help and makes this promise to God. If you give me a child, but not just a child, she's going for the top here. If you give me a son, I will give him back to you. This is the plea bargain. You give me what I want, which is a son, so that I can have a bit of standing and I can shut up Peninnah because she's getting on my nerves, and I can make sure that Elkanah understands just how much a kid means to me, because he's ignorant. And then I will give him back to you. A plea bargain. But Hannah's plea was no selfish plea. It wasn't the kind of plea, I guess, that we make. Ever made a plea to God? If you will do this for me, I promise I'll do that for you. If you would only get me this job, or if you would only let me have this car, or if only I could have this or that or the other, I promise you I'll be back at church on Sunday morning, and I'll be there every Sunday, or every Sunday evening, or whatever. Ever made one of those pleas? One of those bargains with God? But Hannah's plea was no selfish plea. It was about giving over her most precious thing. The very thing that she wanted most of all. The thing that would give her honour and standing in her family and in her community. She was prepared to give back to God the very thing that he gave to her, her son. So what about us? Do we plea bargain with God? I wonder if we make requests of God. And I wonder what we try to bargain with. What we offer to do if only God does something for us. Just pause for a moment. Think about your prayers to God. How often do you find yourself plea bargaining with him? And how often do you fulfill your side of the bargain? Just for a moment. Let's have a look at Hannah's second prayer. The prayer that was read to us from chapter 2. This prayer follows on from the birth of her son Samuel. And as promised, after he's been weaned, Hannah takes him back to Shiloh, where he is handed over to the priest Eli. Remember the priest Eli, the very same one that misunderstood her and accused her of being drunk. And as she promised, Samuel is dedicated to the Lord's service and he is to stay in the temple. And then I encourage you to read on the rest of Samuel 1 and 2 and see just what he did and how great a leader and a person he became. But then Hannah prays this beautiful prayer of praise to God. Look at it again if you've got your Bibles. And I wonder if you can tell me what other prayer in the Bible is like this prayer. Where else do we see a prayer like that? Let's read it if you haven't got your Bible. The Lord has filled my heart with joy. How happy I am because of what he has done. I laugh at my enemies. How joyful I am because God has helped me. And it goes on. Where else have you heard that kind of prayer? The Magnificat. Luke's Gospel. Mary. If I can find it. Wrong bookmark. My heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God my Saviour. For he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on all people will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. His name is holy. Those two prayers, Mary's prayer in the New Testament and Hannah's prayer in the Old Testament, very, very similar in what they say, their message of praise to God. Hannah's prayer is a prayer of praise, even though she's been through much. Even though she is giving up her son, she still manages to praise God. But if you read the prayer, there is more than just praise. It's psalm-like in the way that it's phrased. And like many psalms, it's not just praise, but there's also warnings. And there's warnings here to enemies. This prayer of Hannah's carries a sting. I love this line. I love this line. I laugh at my enemies. How joyful I am because God has helped me. In other translations, it talks about my mouth is wide. This idea of a wide mouth, of almost like sticking your tongue out at your enemies is kind of how it's described. Hannah has got her own back on all the people that have been putting her down. She's got this gift from God that she's giving back to God, and she's sticking her tongue out at Peninnah and Eli and everybody else, and she's saying, "Nuh, God has listened to me, he's helped me out. And I'm praising him for that." So she's sticking her tongue out at her enemies because God is good. But there's a warning about those people with proud words. And here she's getting at Eli. He's pompous. He's the priest. Him and his sons are doing all kinds of naughty things and getting away with it because they're the priests and the priest's sons. And what Hannah is saying in this prayer, God in a way is passing judgment on Eli and his sons, and is saying through this prayer, through this praise, that your time is up. God is passing judgment on the way that you behave. So it's a prayer of praise. It's a prayer of warning. It's a prayer of protection and hope. I love the message of hope that runs through this prayer. The message of protection. Verse 9, he protects the lives of his faithful people, but the wicked disappear in darkness. A man does not triumph by his own strength. The Lord's enemies will be destroyed. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the whole world. He will give power to his king. He will make his chosen king victorious. A prayer of protection, a prayer of hope. And it's a prayer inspired out of love. Hannah's love for her God. I wonder how often do we praise God in our prayers? Just praise God in our prayers. I wonder when we pray, we do it a bit of praise at the beginning, but then do we tag on an ask? Do we tag on another request? I wonder, do we always ask for something more? Are we ever satisfied with what we have? Or once God has answered one request, do we jump right back with the next? Or are we content to just say thank you for what God has been doing for us? Pause for a moment and ask yourself this question. When was the last time I said thanks to God without adding another request? When was the last time you just said thank you to God without saying, but can you just do this as well? Just take a moment. So what does Hannah teach us about prayer? Well, I think she teaches us to be faithful. I think she teaches us to be sincere. I think she teaches us to be passionate and wholehearted in the way that we pray. I think she teaches us to be bold, to reach out for the maximum. I think she teaches us to ask and expect that God will answer. I think she teaches us that we should praise God. What does Jesus tell us about prayer? Just these few verses from Matthew chapter 6 that follow on in a way and help us to understand how we should be praying. Because the disciples didn't quite get it. And they were saying, well, how do we pray then? Teach us. And Jesus tells them some ideas of how they should pray. Have a look at Matthew 6. What do we hear? How does Jesus tell us we should pray? Shout out some ideas.
Closed room.
Closed room. How else? No fancy words. How else? Have you got them on the screen, Richard? It might help for some. Sorry. I think what Jesus is saying here, prayer isn't about show. It's not about big, complicated words or fancy gestures. It's about your heart and how you're speaking and communicating with God. It's not for show. It doesn't need to be flashy or loud. It needs to be between you and your Father. You don't need to dress it up. Speak plainly. Speak honestly. Speak from your heart. Hannah spoke from her heart. She was in despair when she was crying out to God. God can cope with that. God can cope with your pain, with your joy, with your emotions. Speak plainly. Speak from the heart. Speak honestly. God knows how you're feeling anyway. God knows what you're going to be praying about anyway. God knows what you need and what you want and what you'd like and what you dream of. So just be honest to him. Speak out what you need, what you want, what you dream of. And be open to God. God knows what we need. He knew exactly what Hannah needed. And we, like Hannah, need to ask with faith. We must be open and honest with God. We must be real with God. And like Hannah, we must make ourselves vulnerable to God. Prayer is an amazing thing. It's fantastic to be able to talk directly to the Creator of this world. Don't treat it lightly. Be bold as you speak out to God. Be expectant to hear what God wants to say to you. And praise Him when He answers your prayers. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this amazing story of Hannah. We thank you for this woman of faith and courage. We thank you for this woman who was prepared to give back to you the most precious thing she ever got. Father, we pray that we too would be men and women of faith, that we would be men and women of prayer, ready to call out to you, ready to speak with you, ready to hear from you, expectantly calling and waiting for your answer. Father God, we pray that you would help us to become men and women of prayer like Hannah. In Jesus' name, amen. What we're going to do by way of response and of intercession is that hopefully on your chairs, I've left mine, you should have, if you're probably sitting on them, a little blue card. And on one side of the card you've got some verses from Hannah's prayer. The Lord has filled my heart with joy. How happy I am because of what he has done. And on the flip side it just says, Dear Father, then a space, and then an Amen. What I'd like you to do is to fill that space with a prayer to God for you, to stick in your Bibles or put in your pocket, to take away with you. A prayer that you want to make out to God. It could be a prayer of praise. It could be there's something on your heart that you really just need to lay before God. It could be a situation personal to you, or it could be a situation that you've read about in the news or seen on the TV or heard about in some way, and you just want to commit that to God. And then to remember it as you go through this week or when you open your Bible up and you find this card. So just take a few moments in silence just to have a look, have a think, pray, fill this card in and take it away. If you need a pen, I have got a few pens available. Just stick your hand up and I'll chuck a few out, as it were. And if you haven't got a card, we have got spares as well. The Lord has filled my heart with joy. How happy I am because of what he has done. Father God, we can join with Hannah in saying these words. We can say these words in confidence because we can trust in you that no matter how we are feeling, no matter what is going on in our lives, good or bad, we can trust and rely on you. Father God, we know that you are a God that answers prayers. And so we lift to you our prayers now, the prayers that we've written on these cards. Prayers of joy. Prayers of pain. Personal prayers. Prayers for our nation. Prayers for our world. Prayers for people that we don't even know. Prayers for situations that we cannot even fathom. Father God, we lift to you our prayers in the confidence that you hear us, in the knowledge that you will answer us. Father God, thank you for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.